Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. Thank you for being here. We kicked off a series last week on spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is something that's not talked about much in the church these days. It's not even thought about that much by Christians. It's not understood. And it's not even recognized by many, many Christians. And so today I want to continue the series on that. Last week we talked a little bit about spiritual warfare and how prayer, when you pray, when you engage in sincere prayer, you're engaged in spiritual warfare. And so today I want to talk about the kingdom. I think one of the reasons that people are not so aware to spiritual warfare is they don't really understand the concept of the kingdom, of God's kingdom. And I'll be talking about that in a little bit. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to begin there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, in other words, worldly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, he's real clear here, as Paul writes this, that we live in the flesh. When he says, although we walk in the flesh, we live in the flesh, this body called the flesh. But he says, we don't war according to the flesh. In other words, we don't fight with our bodies, physically fight in this war that he's talking about, in the war, the real war that we're in today, the spiritual war. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not worldly, they're not the things that we think of in the physical, but they're mighty in God. The weapons of our warfare come from God. Our weapons for warfare comes from God. That's what he's saying here. And they're mighty. They're mighty weapons for pulling down strongholds. Stronghold is a place or something that has a grip. It has an impenetrable grip or hold on something. Basically what the word says, a strong hold on something. And in this life, we experience those things through this warfare. Strongholds in our lives. It can be emotional strongholds. It can be physical strongholds, like addictions. Emotional strongholds, mental strongholds. All sorts of different strongholds. Habits. Basically, strongholds, for the most part, are connected in some way with sin or our sin nature. But I want to talk today again about the kingdom. In Luke 22, 29, Jesus is speaking, and he says this, And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Jesus is talking about his kingdom. I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon you. The kingdom of God was a recurring message Jesus spoke and taught about while he was on the earth. He spoke about the power and the presence of the kingdom and its ability to impact all areas of life. The mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual. See, the kingdom's grace and power speaks to every circumstance and need in life. It speaks to health and healing. It speaks to sin and forgiveness. It speaks to human relationships, personal character, human failure, divine provision. And he calls for us to grow in faith. Every point of Jesus' message was purposed to bring hope, to bring abundant life, now and in the future. You see, the gift of the kingdom of God is a gift. The gift of the kingdom was twofold. First, to offer salvation so that we are first birthed into the kingdom through salvation, and then partnership with God, which enables us, once we become citizens of the kingdom, we're to partner with God to take back the kingdom that was lost and to administrate the kingdom of God and to expand the kingdom of God on the earth. Jesus spoke some things that has big implications for our lives, for all of humanity. The first one is found in John 3. John chapter 3, if you'll turn to there. Verse 5. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was an exceptionally brilliant man. Exceptionally brilliant. Very educated. Very learned of the scriptures. Very knowledgeable of God. But he came to Jesus inquiring of him the things he was teaching about the kingdom and about being born again. And Jesus said to him in verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom." He cannot see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Born again through salvation, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's talking about a spiritual birth. And you'll understand that a little better when we talk about the kingdom in a minute. But Jesus makes it clear, the only way into the kingdom is to be born into it. You can't work your way into the kingdom. You can't learn enough scripture. You can't say enough prayers. You can't do enough good to walk into the kingdom. You have to be birthed, born into the kingdom. And that's what Jesus was saying there. He makes it clear. His message addresses the most highest human, basic human need. Forgiveness of sin, repentance, and faith. Turn back to Matthew 4, a little farther back. Matthew 4, verse 17. With me? Okay. Jesus is speaking again. And he's speaking to the devil. All through chapter 4, he's speaking to the devil. In verse 17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now he's speaking to everyone then. He'd been on the mountain, he'd been tempted by the devil, whom he spoke scripture to. And then he comes down and he begins to preach and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." At hand means is present. So Jesus is saying, repent because the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. Or, in other words, the presence of the king is here. Jesus was declaring that himself. And wherever he is welcomed, he'll enter. And the presence that brings blessings of transformation power brings character and fruit to all who receive him comes with him. Wherever he's welcomed. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus is speaking again, and he'd been talking with his disciples, asking them, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? And then in verse 17, he says to them, after Peter had responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, man hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, meaning a stone, and on this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades is another word for death, shall not prevail against it. And then he goes on to say, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. He's saying right there to man, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The keys of the kingdom. Jesus promised the keys of the kingdom, giving both access and authority. And the first key to the kingdom is access. The first key to the kingdom is access. Access to the kingdom. You see, when you have the keys to a vehicle, to a truck or a car, or you have the keys to a house, you have access to it, don't you? But listen, just because you have access, just because you have keys to a vehicle, it doesn't necessarily release the power in that vehicle, does it? See, you have to use the keys. You have to use the keys to release the power in the vehicle, which means you have to do something. You have to act on it. You have to get in the vehicle. You have to get in the kingdom. You have access. You have access. Access is through the birth, the rebirth, spiritual birth, being born again. That gives you access to the kingdom. But you have to get in to take part in its operation. It's the same way with access to the kingdom. We've been given a key, but it's our choice. It's our choice. The key is Jesus. Jesus is our access to the kingdom. And it's that access is given to anyone who will receive the key and who will use the key. It's our choice. It's our choice to use the key or not. You see, we get born into the kingdom, and then through daily prayer and serving, we release the power of the kingdom in our lives and in the world to penetrate darkness, to pierce the darkness, to overcome darkness, to push back darkness. And the second key to the kingdom is authority. Authority. Access and then authority. You see, our access to the kingdom, when it's utilized, gives us authority over darkness and evil. The keys to the kingdom is a privilege, folks. The keys to the kingdom is a privilege that we use with God's power, not ours. And our Lord calls us. He calls us to use them, to release the authority that's given to us through the blood of the cross. The authority is in the blood. The authority is in the blood of Christ. His blood conquered darkness. And His blood releases that authority to us in His name. In His name. So here's what we have. We receive nothing without first receiving salvation. We've got nothing until we have that. The new birth, forgiveness, and freedom from sin. And once this happens, then we're called to grow spiritually, to become active participants in advancing the kingdom, God's kingdom. You see, His kingdom brings a flow. It brings a flow of life, a flow of grace, a flow of forgiveness, and a flow of power to mankind. And it overthrows the work of the flesh and the devil. You see, in order to have a right perspective of the kingdom, it helps to have a biblical concept of the kingdom. And I believe so much of the passive attitudes or weakness of conviction about prayer is because of ignorance concerning the kingdom of God, concerning how it was designed for humankind, and how it was disrupted by the flesh and the devil. And I think this will help us, help give us deeper convictions about the power and the privilege of prayer, and help cultivate a kingdom mindset for the church. The church needs a kingdom mindset. So I'm going to talk about the kingdom. In Genesis 1:28, God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Don't go there, I'm just passing through there. Be fruitful and multiply. And he also said, have dominion over all things. In other words, he told him to spread his kingdom rule over all the earth. Now they resided in a perfect garden with parameters and with fellowship with God himself. But he also gave them free will, something we all have. So pursuing their way and their will, coupled with the deception of the serpent liar, they gave in to self-will. And they took the entire planet off course. Sound familiar? We call this the kingdom lost. That's when the kingdom was lost, or began to be lost. You see, relationship between God and people was severed. And man experienced spiritual death. His spirit died. And the relationship between man and woman became disunity. And instead of expanding the kingdom, mankind was left trying to scratch out a living from the dirt. And this is the result. Man's loss of relationship and rule over the earth. The release of and the continued spread of deception, ruin, and the kingdom of darkness. And the third thing it resulted in was spiritual blindness over the human race by selfishness, pride, humanistic wisdom, along with ignorant submission to the father of lies, Satan himself. In time, and philosophies of man have brought about an avoidance and a disdain, literally a disdain for God's word. And the hellishness in the world today is a result of Adam's decision, and that decision being followed by all of us, all of mankind. You see, the right of man to steward the earth was handed over to the adversary. And this is called the kingdom ruined. The kingdom was ruined when that happened. But I'm not going to stop there, because the story doesn't end there. There's some good news. We know from the Bible, from God's word, that God took action. And he devised a plan. A plan that would be a win-win for everyone who was open to it. Everyone that would be open to it. A plan to recover what was lost. In 2 Peter, it tells us the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, don't mistake that means that, well, everybody gets saved in the end. That's not true. People try to sell that for their own comfort. But it's God's will. But God's will is not always done in our lives, is it? Because why? Because of our will. We have a free will. But he had a plan. When a person receives the love and grace of God, it brings new life, new hope, and a new perspective on the world, and a new desire for compassion for others, and to see others come to salvation. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. So now the story changes. Instead of permanent loss of God's rule on the earth that was given to man, God implemented His plan of redemption. A plan to bring all creation back under His original plan. And this we call the kingdom come. The kingdom come. You might be familiar with that in the Lord's Prayer. Eventually, Jesus will return and He'll establish His rule once and for all. But in the meantime, He has appointed His Father's will and His Father's plan to the church to carry out until His return. You see, in other words, to be about His business, to be about the Father's business, which is breakthrough prayer. Prayer that drives back darkness, the demonic, disease, and death. Likewise, God's given us a wealth of currency. A wealth of currency to draw on. And that currency is the power of heaven. And we draw on it through prayer. That's where we draw on God's power, through prayer. You see, we operate with Christ's authority and His gentle spirit to break through the strongholds of the devil's satanic darkness, no matter if it's gripping of a person or a city or even a nation. Every obstacle may not be overcome instantly. But listen, we're called. We're called to a war. Not an argument. Not a scrap. We're called to a war, people. A war. And Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. According to His will. So the next step to the kingdom is the kingdom now. The kingdom now. What the first Adam lost, Jesus, who the Bible refers to as the second Adam, has come to reclaim. What was lost in the garden, what was given away, what was ruined, Jesus has come to reclaim. And He initiated it on the cross. He initiated it on the cross. And He continues the reclamation through the church. Now some of you are thinking, really? Yeah, I wouldn't have done it that way either. But God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. We're the ones that don't know what we're doing. That's why we need to get informed. And we need to get involved with the kingdom and the war. This is how it's described. Romans chapter 5. Two verses. First, verse 17. And it explains the first and second Adam. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, capital one, Jesus Christ. In verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, spiritual death he's speaking of, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus' sacrifice neutralized the limitations that sin put on humans. Let me say that again. Jesus' sacrifice neutralize the limitations of sin, or that sin put on humans, because it's in that victory that He invites us to reign in this life. Not controlling it with our minds and our selfish will, but as His servants, reigning in this life as God's servants, endowed with authority to exercise in situations in our realm, wherever we're involved, with divine appointment. In other words, do what he would do. Do what Jesus would do now. Don't wait till he comes back. Do what he would do now. Luke 12:32 says this. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, he's given us the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. He's talking to the church. Worship team, would you come up? Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure. I want you to listen to these words. First of all, fear not. You see, we're in a war. We're in a war, but we don't fear. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. And he's telling us right there, fear not, little flock. Why? For it's your Father's good pleasure. God the Father, it's his good pleasure. Can you imagine what those words mean? God's good pleasure. Can you imagine how vast that pleasure, that kind of pleasure must be? God's pleasure. Fear not, for it's your Father's good pleasure to what? To give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. His kingdom. Why? For what? To rule and reign in it. To serve in it. To live and enjoy it. To have authority over it. To take it back. To expand it on the earth while we're here. You see, as we live in the Spirit of the Lamb, we're submitted to the Father. And there's, you know, there's just something about that that's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. As we live in the Spirit of the Lamb, we have to be submitted to the Father, yielding to his will, gentle in spirit like the Lamb, to push back the darkness in prayer, in ministry, and let Jesus infuse you with the Holy Spirit and choose to live as one of his flock. Choose to live as one of his flock. And here's a very important point. We have been born again to receive, to inherit, and to live in the kingdom of God. That's awesome, folks. That's awesome. We have been born again to receive, to inherit, and to live in the kingdom of God. That's the process of taking it back. That's the war we're in. And if you want to receive, if you want to inherit, and if you want to live in the kingdom of God, Jesus himself said, you must be born again. You must be born of water and flesh, which means you got to be a person. You got to live. But then you must be born of the Spirit, which means born again, which means receiving the Spirit of Christ by faith to salvation. Let's pray together. Got a question for you this morning as we close. The question is simple. Are you a citizen of the kingdom? Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? Now, some of you just thought, well, I'm in church. I go to church. I do good stuff. I don't lie, cheat, and steal. That's not what I ask you. I ask you, are you a citizen of the kingdom? You see, I showed you earlier in Scripture where Jesus said, the only access to the kingdom is you can't climb into it, you can't crawl into it, You can't run into it. You can't scratch and work your way into it. You have to be born into the kingdom. Are you a citizen? Have you been born into the kingdom through your faith, by receiving the faith, by receiving the forgiveness of sin, by repenting of your sin, and putting your faith in Jesus Christ? That's the access to the kingdom. Have you done that this morning? And if you haven't, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to enter into the kingdom, to become a citizen. Because we've got a huge inheritance in the kingdom. We've got a huge blessing in the kingdom. We've got a huge war to fight in the kingdom. And by the way, whether you're in the kingdom of God, you're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of darkness. So you're in one of two kingdoms. So if you're in the kingdom of darkness, if you're not a citizen of the king, if you're not a citizen of the kingdom of God, then you're a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. But you don't have to remain there. You can put your faith in Christ. You can pray a prayer just like this, right where you sit. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. I believe God raised you from the dead. And through your blood, you have power over sin. I believe I need a Savior. I believe I need you, Jesus, as my Savior, because you're the only Savior. And so I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I do believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me, Jesus, of my sin. And I give you my life right now by faith in the Word of God. I give you my faith. I give you my life. I give you my heart. In Jesus' name. Maybe you are a citizen of the King. Maybe you're here today as we pray and you've been born into the kingdom. But you've not been a citizen, a true citizen of the kingdom. You've not been serving. You've not been praying. You've not been active in the war. You've just been kind of hiding out. Listen, God calls you. Jesus calls you to engage in the war, to push back darkness, and to engage in strong, faithful, believing prayer. Use your life. Use your life for Him. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here this morning. I thank you for these people here today that you have here by divine appointment. They're not here by accident. I thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. Because without your presence, there's nothing. And so we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin, who shows us our need for your Son, Jesus. And so, God, we thank you. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us through your Word, through your Spirit. And I pray, God, this morning that someone who is in the wrong kingdom has been born into your kingdom here today by faith in your Son, Jesus. And I pray, God, through your Spirit, and by your Spirit, and with your Spirit, you fill them with your Spirit. Seal them with your Spirit. Seal their salvation through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're watching by internet, if you made a decision here this morning, would you fill out that connection point? Just check on the back. I gave my life to Christ, or whatever the decision may be. Maybe you just want to write it out so we can just pray with you. We want to pray with you. If you've been watching by internet and you made a decision today, go to our website where you are watching the live stream. And there's a place you can click on contact us. And just contact us at the website and let us know the decision you made. And all I want to do is send you some information. If you'll fill that connection point out, if you'll contact us from the website, I'll just send you some information about your new life with Christ and how to get plugged in with Him and just encourage you. And we want to pray for you too. And so do that for us, will you? Do that. Let us know that you've made a decision for the kingdom of God. Ushers, if you'll come forward and prepare to receive, Heart Cry family and friends, it's offering time. Amen.